So this is Roger Deakins, and I was cinematographer on this film, 1917. And I'm going to try and talk you through it. So this was interesting. The opening shot changed a number of times how we did it and what the shot was, but we ended on this very simple idea of just doing this continuous pull back so that you come off this bucolic landscape and you gradually reveal the world that our two characters are going to be immersed in. The opening is such a... It's a surprisingly difficult move doing that opening. We tried it a few times on different rigs. And because we wanted this very solid frame at the beginning, we realized we had to do it on a small jib arm. So the camera at the moment is on a stabilized head called a stabilize, a little remotely operated stabilized head. And it's pulling back on a little jib arm. And at this point right now, it's been taken off the jib arm, and now it's being carried by two grips. The camera's underslung from a pole on this little stabilized head. Now, you might wonder where the crane is. Well, that was taken out with a wonderful digital technology. So it's actually behind Blake. It was covering that tree. So what we did with every take. Once we got a take we were happy with, we took the actors out and the extras out, and we did a complete take that was just the backgrounds, so that if there was ever something that Sam needed to change in the alter in the backgrounds, they had a clean plate without the elements of the characters kind of getting in the way.
Thought we might get some decent grub out here.
So now the camera's being carried back by two grips, as I say, suspended from a pole between them. And at one point, as we get into the trench, it's then taken by a single grip who's walking backwards. So now it's a single grip walking backwards with this camera on a stabilized head. I really love the effect here that the two actors are getting swallowed up now by the trench. The walls are starting to envelop them. That was the idea of this continual long pullback.
They say why?
I think the interesting here, the first blend is coming up, and it's a very, very simple cross with a group of soldiers pulling up some equipment, and the box is the wipe. And the thing about these blends was what was crucial to get the end of the A side and the beginning of the B side to exactly match. So we spent a lot of time with playback, looking at the frame that would be our mix and getting the actors in exactly the same place, the camera in the same place, the same relationship with the actors. And now we're on a different rig. We're on Peter Cavacuti's rig we called the Dragonfly, which was a kind of post with a gyro on it that we could have the stabilize remote head top mounted on. So basically he could walk backwards and then he could walk very fast forwards. He wasn't operating, so he didn't have the problem of his footing. And again, I'm operating remotely. But he could travel down this very muddy, difficult trench and move quite fast because the actors are going quite fast here, and later you'll see they're going even faster and we use the same rig. It was the only way we could find to actually do moves that were at that speed.
Never know. Might be mentions in dispatches for this one.
We were very lucky here with that sky. That is the real sky that we shot. We were very lucky with the light all the way through the picture, actually. Now, we shot this opening on Salisbury Plain, but we shot this interior in a barn nearby. And there's obviously a blend going in into the set that's built within the barn.
A lieutenant in the 2nd Devons.
Yes, sir.
The backgrounds are lit as though there's sort of daylight seeping in, but the main light source is these oil lamps. Now, the oil lamps were dummied with electric bulbs, 500-watt kind of quartz bulbs. And they dim right down to get the colour of a flame to mimic the light that would come out of an oil lamp. They're actually period fixtures that Lee, our prop guy, bought in France, I think, in a market in France. Anyway, he got them from all over the place. He went to France quite a few times. We used to joke with him that it was just going to Paris for a weekend. He said, no, I'm going to buy props. He did a wonderful job. I mean, everything was authentic. It was really, really good.
Yesterday morning, he was going after the retreating Germans. He is convinced.
So that all these lamps that are on dimmers, separate dimmer system, and our dimmer operator, Steve Matty, is adjusting the intensity as the camera's moving. The camera at this point is on, again, it's on a stable eye head, but it's attached to a technocrane. And the technocrane, a 50-foot technocrane, is at 90 degrees to the camera's viewpoint. So it's over to the left. The arm is coming over the set, and there's a slot in the roof of the set. And the camera's hanging on a drop arm, so that the technocrane is very slowly moving throughout this shot.
Deliver this to Colonel Mackenzie. It is a direct order.
This was a scene that we had rehearsed at one time with a lot more movement within the set. But then Sam reckoned, we were talking about it, that we wanted to keep the camera constantly moving forward. So Sam restaged the scene with these two tables. So the actors moved around and gave us opportunity to get in their faces when we needed to be in their faces and be over them at the beginning. And at this point now, the camera's been taken off the crane. It's now being handheld again on this, dropped off this pipe, but it held by, I think it's held by one grip at the moment, though even I can't remember that. This is Gary Himes, and he's walking sideways with the camera now holding it, I'd say, suspended from this pipe. As this move happens, then the ceiling, the technocrane's been retracted and the ceiling pieces are now put in place, because here we see down the whole ceiling, and in the middle of that ceiling was a gap where the technocrane was hanging down. So that's all been now fallen into place. And as the camera comes around, the lamp on the table in front of Colin is brightened and the ones to the left taken down, so you get the quality of that light. Now we're blending to the first shot we actually shot. This is the opening shot of our schedule, and this took place in a field near Hemel Hempstead, north of London. Blake. All the distances of these trenches were worked out way before they were dug, before any, Dennis Gassner, our production designer, before he built anything, we had to work out how far we needed these trenches to run because of the amount of dialogue, the speed of the actors, where the incidences needed to be. So everything was mapped out with stakes and the actual actors, George and Dean, so that we made this whole trench line above the ground with stakes. There's a blend there in amongst all those characters as we come round. The reason for that was really a practical one, just to reduce the amount of dialogue, amount of performance, amount of action we had to do with the extras. But because this section here is actually quite long, a very difficult shot, this.
You don't know, Blake, you weren't there.
Again, this is Peter Cavacuti with what we called a Dragonfly rig, which is a little post on a Steadicam arm with gyros on the bottom and a stable eye remote head on top of it, is top mounted on this post. And again, I'm operating now somewhere away from this. Andy Harris, my focus puller, is focus pulling near me in a separate little van. We worked out of little vans, and he's doing everything off a screen, which is the only way he could possibly do this. And as far as I remember, and I remember pretty well, there's only one take, not one shot, one take that he did in the whole of production that was slightly soft, which is kind of quite unbelievable. This is the front line. There was a blend there on that pan. We deliberately put the shadow in there, so the corrugated roof piece was put there so we could blend on the profile, because now we had to move to another section of trench that was built in another area, because we didn't have a big enough field to put it all as a composite set. now we're working with the same piece of equipment. And the problem here was footing on this incredibly muddy, wet trench. What we did was put chicken wire on the duckboards, the wooden platforms they used, that actually, in reality, they used as the floor for these trenches. And in actuality, they did sometimes use chicken wire. But some of it is where you see it in the final image. It's sort of painted out. But otherwise, just about everything in these shots is in camera. The trenches were deliberately made narrow, which they would have been. We didn't falsify the width just for ease of operation. We just really kept to the reality of what it was like. And I think there's a certain claustrophobia created by that, the feeling of the camera moving through. This, everything on the, in the film is basically shot on a 40mm Signature Prime on a mini LF camera, which Arriflex actually developed early for us. They gave us three prototypes of the Alexa LF Mini. And I say prototypes. They weren't intending to develop these cameras quite so early and produce them, but they, as we managed to twist their arms, and they thankfully came up with these three camera bodies for us. And basically, they were flawless. The camera now is on another Arriflex piece of equipment called the a Trinity arm. It looks kind of like a Steadicam, but it's not. It's a different technology. It's a gyro-stabilized head that is on a post that says looks like a Steadicam, and it's on a Steadicam kind of vest with an arm. But this has the ability to jib up and down. This was operated by Charlie Resick, who I'd never worked with before this film, and he'd never worked on a feature film, actually. And I saw a short drama he'd done, a 7-minute piece that he'd done on this rig. And we met him and we experimented with some shots that we needed. He had no idea what we were doing. And at one point we asked him if he would work on the film because he was so good. And he did this long shot and many others, which I'll mention. His work is absolutely immaculate. Sir?
Lieutenant Leslie, sir?
There's another blend now on that pan as Dean crosses camera. And again, we didn't have to. It's all a composite set, but it was a matter of just reducing the amount of load for the operator, really.
Settle a bet. What day is it?
Friday.
Friday? Well, none of us was right. This idiot thought it was Tuesday.
Sorry, sir.
Are they out of their fucking minds? One slow.
So when I was operating, my DIT, Josh Golish, would have been stop pulling as he was doing here. Because again, I'm operating the tilt on the Trinity arm that now is being operated by Peter Cavacuti.
There are aerials of the new line that shut up. We fought and died over every inch of this fucking place. Now they suddenly give us miles. It's a trap.
But tuna, there's a medal in it, for sure.
This shot that starts here goes up until the boys go up over the front line to no man's land. And it's one of the most difficult shots, I think. And poor Pete, he had to do it, I think, 40-odd times. It was nobody's fault. It's the cigarette lighter that Andrew was using here kept failing. And all sorts of things kept going wrong. But so poor Pete, he did an amazing job because I say he had to do 40-odd takes. We thought it might kill him. He did have to have a little break at one point, but...
You fall in, there's no getting out. This way.
Yeah, it's an amazingly difficult shot. Again, really because of the mud, the conditions, and no mud was added.
It was full of bodies anyway. Your best bet is to pop over here.
Again, pretty much all in camera. There might have been a little bit of a digital fix on where we look down the trenches, any depth, we might have, I think there we might have seen some trees in the background, because as I say, it was a field in the middle of nowhere, but in the backgrounds there were trees sometimes and a big radar mast. So little things had to be painted out, but which is no problem these days. This is where the props went wrong. Poor Dean and the flare gun, couldn't get it in his pocket sometimes, and it was, yeah. Because it's like one of those takes, you're going to the end and everybody's kind of like struggling to do it best, and you think, it's really good, and then something will go wrong, and you go, oh, right, we have to go back to the start, all the way back again, you know.
Age before beauty.
The pressure of long takes. And you can see, actually, I'll continue with this, because now there's a blend. As they go up over, we just matched exactly where they were, because now the rig changes. Well, actually, the rig doesn't change. It's now Charlie Rezik is operating now on the Trinity again, so that you get that move down with them, and now it's booming up slightly as we come round, and you'll see it in a moment. Charlie armed out the Trinity arm so that we could go over the horse, you know, while the guys go around it. So I wanted to go over the horse and really feel the horror of the flies. And then we timed it so Dean turns around as the camera leaves the horse and we're on his close-up, his reaction. All this was staged over and over and over again without the wire and without the props so that we could figure these shots out. And then when we started building it, like, we cut a hole in the wire here, but it's at such an angle that at the beginning of the shot, you never notice it. But right now, Charlie's walking through this path that's actually, say, 45 degrees to the line of the wire, and you never notice it. And I'm surprised nobody ever said to me, anybody's watched the film, he never said, oh, how did he walk through the wire? I mean, it's sort of like you just go with it. This was especially interesting. This is one of the sequences we sort of storyboarded early on, played with just drawings to figure out the movement of the camera in relationship to the actors and how we could go from a close-up of one character to, you know, this bit of action specifically on Schofield. And then at some point we go off Schofield and back to Blake. Like here, we pan off to Blake. And the reason to do this was see Blake's reaction to Schofield, but then see this landscape going out beyond him, this kind of endless kind of void of landscape. And now Blake goes into the hole. This was all purposely built like this so that we could do this shot and come now onto Schofield, wrap round Schofield. And there's a blend now in this point right here. There's a blend so that now we could go on a technocrane. And at 50-foot technocrane, then arms back and jibs down into what was the sap trench in order to see the rats. So this is all on the end of a technocrane with a stable eye head. Again, everything, this was all mapped out in a field before the trenches were dug to figure the length. I think what comes up here was the hardest blend. There's some CG work being used here. I think we could have done an easier position to make a blend here, but the blend's happening about now. And now we're on the second shot. But we matched as closely as we could, you know, the end of the A side with the beginning of the B side. But there were some inconsistencies in the light and all sorts of things that had to be helped digitally. Again, this is all mapped out. We drew the craters on the field so we knew where they would be moving, where the camera would be moving in relationship to them. So the timing of this, where they dive in the crater as the planes go over, is all timed out. The planes, obviously, are CG, but we had a little drone so that the eye line, the guy's eye line, was always consistent. Again, I remind that this is on the Trinity rig. It's one of Charlie's most amazing moves, really, making this kind of move around the guys like that in this mud. I mean, the actors are having a hard enough time walk, let alone the operator. It was quite an achievement, actually, I've got to say. And then now you'll see later, for an obvious reason, this is still on the Trinity. But as we track now across with these trees in the foreground, there's a blend right there. And now the camera's being carried, again, by two grips with a pipe and the camera slung between them, on the stabilizer. So that I wanted to get the low shot with the feet and the mud, and then we wanted to come up to see the width of this big crater coming up. Everything's live except for the crows that were on those bodies. The crows were CG. And obviously the backgrounds in this landscape are extended CG, and some of the atmosphere is put on. Now we're on a wire. On that walk, we segued onto a wire. The camera's like handed onto the wire. The wire's already moving. The wire's a four crane point rig, and it's all computerized. The only thing could be changed with the speed of the motion of the camera, but the camera's always moving in exactly the same programmed, waveform, whatever. So we knew exactly it's coming down to the water. And again, I'm operating this remotely. We had to do this quite a few times, and we had to do it a lot without the actors, just to program where the camera was going to be. And the hardest thing was timing the walk to get to the final point here. That was quite tricky, and it was also quite tricky to fix where these stakes were and the wire was. Sam really wanted that handoff there, the guys one helping the other. And then we really wanted this end look where Schofield looks at this body on the wire. And then we wanted that focus shift, and we wanted to reveal the guys coming out behind, because now we're on another set. This is another piece of field, because again, we didn't have the distance to build everything as a total composite. So now we're on another piece of set, and now we're on the Trinity rig again. Charlie Rezek is operating a Trinity rig. Again, this was all mapped out well in advance. We wanted to get this one point, we get in a wide shot, so we see the guys. We see the German trench line now in the foreground. And quite simply, we built a ramp. So all the sets there, we built a ramp that Charlie's on. Now he's walking down the ramp and he's lowering down on the column of the Trinity rig to get into this static position as the guys meet and stop for a breather. Charlie's just slowly readjusting and now pushing in on this dialogue to get ready to be able to do the pullback that follows. One of the trickiest thing on the whole shoot was really, for me, was the weather, actually, because I really wanted everything to be in cloud, just for the look of it, but also so we could match from shot to shot, from location to location. This was a shot I remember distinctly. We were waiting and waiting for the cloud, and when the cloud came, it came too heavy. It came really thundery. And although this was late afternoon and the sun is way behind the actors at that camera angle, it looks like it's front lit because of the way the clouds came in. And I always kind of regret that, because I don't quite like this front lit look. But, sometimes you've got to go with it, because we got this take. Sam was happy with this take, and then the heavens opened up. The rest of the day we couldn't have shot. It was pouring with rain and getting dark.
No good.
It's funny, I think sometimes, like right here, you think that's an obvious blend, but it's not. We did the shots we wanted to do, and we knew in some instances, like on a pan like that, you could have made the cut if you wanted to. But sometimes the performances and everything flowed so well, you didn't need to use them. The same was the tilt up from the embers in the bucket. I mean, that could have been a blend, but it's not. This is all one shot from where we left them in the last set with the crater. So this shot ends here. Deliberately, we wanted to go in blackness. We thought it was more mysterious. And now we're on a set, actually on stage in Shepherd Studios. And now this is being operated by Peter Cavacuti on a standard Steadicam rig. Because we're not needing to go up and down, it was by far the best piece of equipment for this. I liked working with Pete and the Steadicam or Charlie and the Trinity on things where you needed kind of very subtle connection between the camera and the actors. And sometimes with a stable eye, it's a great tool, but it's very hard operating, or maybe I'm not a good enough operator. It's just you don't quite have the sensitivity and ability to, you know, adapt to what the actors are doing in sync with them at the time, you know? So I thought this was a fantastic piece of operating. The flashlights we spent, I mean, they're period flashlights. They're remade, but so they're not the originals, but they're made to exactly match the original flashlights the guys would have used. But what we did is make the for when we did this scene, the glass lens at the front, we have made it a little bigger, and we have made it an LED system. It's all radio controlled, so when they turn off later, they turn off on the radio control, and we could dim them up and down. And we sandblasted the front so that we got this kind of beam that has a sort of penumbra at the edge, a very soft penumbra, but it has a real nice hot spot in the middle. It took quite a while to do. We did a lot of tests, sandblasting that lens and different LED lights to put in the back.
What's wrong? Tripwire. Don't move.
If you didn't notice, that's the only thing light in the scene are the two flashlights. There's nothing else. So that's why we spent quite a lot of time developing. You can see here the little spot of light that we wanted, the hot spot. And now there's an obvious blend on that pan from the explosion. Because the blend there is really for the actors, and we needed to redress the set, because when we come round here now, it's the explosion's gone off and the ceiling's fallen down, so it's totally different set to what we were just in. But also, we're now back on the Trinity rig so that we could get low and push in at this point as Dean is digging George out of the rubble. Again, you know, most of this, the majority of this is in camera. There's some added dust elements and the feeling of falling debris in the background in a minute. But again, for the most part, it was in camera. Our effects, amazing effects supervisor, on-set effects supervisor, Dominic Tui, Dom, did some just absolutely brilliant work. So again, this is all on the Trinity. And I just love how the flashlight just blasts into Schofield's face. You get that intense variation. That little atmosphere helps us that it doesn't flare when it pans to the lens, which is pretty good. Then now there's a blend right there. Again, we just match the move. Different set. We had to blend, but I mean, it only made sense to match there, because now we're on a Steadicam. This is Peter Cavacuti operating on Steadicam. And I'm glad I wasn't him, because after every take he came back and he looked absolutely incredible. He thought the special effects had something against him. He would come back, he looked like, I don't know what he looked like. It was unbelievable. But he did it again. Look at that fantastic job. I mean, walking backwards in a tunnel like this with hardly being able to see, with a flashlight in your face, and getting a move like that, that's pretty amazing. So here we got a blend, because we're going from a studio set into now to a location. And so as they go under that beam, it was a very natural, simple blend that we made. And the background is then morphed into slowly appear the location. So here we're on the stable eye now, when it's being carried by the two grips so they can walk up this hill, which would have been pretty impossible with any other rig, really. So we choreograph this, so we go off Blake and we see his point of view, and then it's a very simple idea on the slow pan round to then make a blend here. It's the sort of thing I've done a load of times with the Coen brothers. You just do a match move to get into another shot. This was now on the Trinity. Charlie is operating this on the Trinity, and the reason was that we needed to get the camera quite low for the composition at this point. He needed to come round. We needed to get low to get Schofield in the foreground and Blake sitting in the background. This is this was the one time the sun was quite strong, but we still had cloud, and I was a bit concerned that it was too strong because I wanted to shoot everything in cloud. But then I thought, well, actually, it's quite a nice look because we're in a different world now. We're behind the German lines, and it's this white chalk environment. And so I don't know if I convinced myself, but I quite liked it. And then in the end, Sam thought it was great that it was kind of a little sunny. So that all really worked out. It's not like the sky was blue because we had this soft spun glass cloud. So it was still this kind of milky white.
I never thought it would be this.
So this was, this was a quarry that the art department had to strip of all its vegetation. It was actually hugely overgrown, but luckily we could strip it all out. And the only thing that is CG here is a little bit of the trees above the horizon line there that they had to take out. Otherwise, just about everything's in camera. A couple of the little tunnel doors were added.
Up yours, Lieutenant.
I say this was just one sequence from that point of view, all shot by Charlie on the Trinity. Again, a shot we worked out on in an office, actually, in Shepperton Studios, you know, in a space in Shepperton Studios to know what the move was, how we would relate camera-wise to the performance. All down to this kind of wide shot here. The flare disappearing in the background there is obviously a CG element, but otherwise not much. Charlie is now walking backwards, jibbing down with the Trinity, which was a hell of a difficult thing for him to do. I think he was a few expletives on this day. and then he gets down to the bottom and we're slowly going into a sideways movement. He's walking on a set of duckboards and across a terrain where we've made a path for him. So we get into the side shot here, and now this blends into another shot, which we're back on a stabilizer being carried by Gary and Malcolm, two grips with the camera slung between them again. They're walking sideways. Again, something we rehearsed over and over. And now, as they come round, they start walking up these steps, which were kind of constructed to Gary and Malcolm's direction, our grip's direction, so that they could make this move and make the climb up these steps. Again, it's all remotely operated.
Well, you know his girl's a hairdresser, right?
Again, there's little elements of CG in this that help. Some of those bunkers recessed in the wall in the side of the quarry back there are not weren't there. That's CG.
It smells sweet, like golden syrup. Wilco,
as a blend there.
He doesn't want to cast it around.
The grips didn't have a monitor. They're just walking with the actors, and they kind of know their position, but we're actually in communication with them. Actually, James was on the communication with them every time. So during rehearsals and sometimes during the takes, we could talk to them about their positioning. This is now on the Trinity rig. This could have been on the Stabilizer. It could have been on a few things, but I felt this was... There's a later part of the shot where I felt the sensitivity of Charlie operating directly in contact with the actors. Actually, the Trinity rig felt like the best proposition. there's a blend as the camera turns around here. It wasn't intended, but I think Lee made a blend there for performance reasons. I think that's what it was. I think probably Sam will say more, but...
Well, that's your medal sorted then. What do you mean?
Charlie's still doing the same shot, but they blended from one take to another.
You reckon? I do.
Again, the planes are CG, but we had a drone, so we knew exactly where they would be going.
I didn't lose mine. What happens to it then? Why do you care?
This was a very long shot. We were operating quite a way away, but we're actually in shot at one particular moment as the camera comes round. I say we, it's a series of little vans that we were operating from, and they had to be painted out afterwards. It's the only shot where we couldn't find a operating position where we could get far enough away to not be in shot, and connectivity was the key issue. Obviously, we had that whole problem in the trench work earlier, but here it was a long, long old throw down this hill as they go towards the farmhouse. And
yes, it does.
We needed connectivity for the wheels, the operating wheels, and for the DIT's monitor, and for Andy Harris focus pulling and stop pulling, which is happening all the time on all these shots. I think every shot there was an iris pull of some sort. Because even on a cloudy day, if you're going 180 degrees from one direction to another, the light shift is quite extreme. And you can do a little bit in a DI, but I didn't want to do that because you could lose highlights or shadows and not be able to get them back. That move there is really why I felt the Trinity was the right piece of equipment to do that shot, because that's a very delicate little move on a very specific moment in the action, you know, on Blake's look and Schofield Lee's frame, and that was really, really important. But here, now we do a blend right there, it's a very obvious one, but that was because that first shot was so difficult, and because this next piece here was a very tricky little move, actually. And it was the day we did this, it was very windy. So we ended up, I was going to do this on the Trinity with Charlie, but we ended up doing it on the Stabileye, which is, you know, the little stabilized remote head carried by the two grips who are now walking with a pole. They're walking sideways down the hill. Again, they don't have a monitor, so James is talking them through it on the rehearsals to say, no, I'm not quite getting the split.
And then in May, we have to pick them. Me and Joe. Takes the whole day.
So these ones are all goners?
Yes, what else can I say? Well, the smoke in the background is CG, but otherwise everything is in camera. We shot all this down in Wilshire on Salisbury Plain, which is a military piece of land that is sort of pristine grassland, really, because it's a military testing area. And it was just perfect for us because it kind of matches this sort of landscape in France where the film is supposedly set, you know. Now, again, all this was mapped out way in advance of the shoot so that we knew the distances the actors would have to travel before any of the set was built. The only thing that was here was the grassy landscape, that pond and that tree and that road. But the road is actually reworked because it was obviously being used by too many tanks. Salisbury Plain. The area is actually about the size of Manhattan Island, and it's completely a pristine training area for the British services. Mainly tank work, but they also there's a firing range as well. So that shot from the orchard and on the Stabileye ends here. That's a blend. And now we're working, Pete Cavacuti is operating this on a standard Steadicam rig. The set was built deliberately for this window. We wanted, coming in the corridor, we wanted to see Schofield disappear out of shot as he searches to the right. We wanted to see Blake appear in the window and that whole shot to develop exactly as it does. So that the shot was worked out before the set was built.
Did you find any food?
No. I don't like this place.
This was probably the biggest iris change in the whole shoot, because obviously you're coming from the outside to in and going inside to out. Here, there's a really long iris change that I would just slowly going down. I don't like those quick moves, but I sort of was slowly doing it as Pete was panning around here. So this is still steady cam. And as the camera comes around in a minute, I'm also, again, altering the iris as it comes round from one angle to another. Again, the background, the cows are CG and smoke in the background is CG. The reason we did the cows CG is actually because we weren't allowed to take the actual period cows to Salisbury Plain as an agricultural restriction on the movement of animals. So whether we liked it or not, it had to be CG. The milk is real, though. No, all this is real. Again, there's an iris change here coming around, so as you look out here, I was opening up for his face a little bit.
Good.
We're shooting on a 40 mil, and a lot of time I'm ending down, so I can't think what this was shot at. We're probably between 4 and 5. On the lens, I wanted the softness in the backgrounds. I wanted a sort of slightly shallower depth of field than I might normally work at. It seemed to me the combination of the 40 mil and that size of sensor kind of reproduced the feel of the photographs that I'd seen from the time, you know, that slightly shallower depth of field. I mean, a 40 mil is a 40 mil, but it has the width of like a 32 or maybe a little bit wider. And the same lens is used on virtually everything. Actually, the only stuff so far we've seen where I went to a 35 was on the German dugout. That was a 35 mil, but everything else is a 40 mil. 2-1-1. There was a blend there as we came around to see out the barn door. And that was a reason of just logistics of how we were going to do this next section of work. The interesting thing here is when we looked at the location, we realized that plane could disappear behind the brow of the hill and it would be more dramatic for it to come up and then come straight towards us. It allowed Schofield to walk towards it and then come back to here. The plane was CG till here. Now everything's live. But the CG crash, the crash is a CG composite of an element we shot. So there was a real plane that crashed the last 30 feet or something. We shot that element to blend with the live action of the actors falling down in the foreground. But all this here is live. That the from the blend when they get up, all this is one shot. Again, this is on the Trinity rig Charlie Resick shooting. Now, and here, we wanted to leave Blake. We wanted the audience to forget, just as Schofield is forgetting, what's happening to Blake in the background behind him. And there was obvious blend here. We wanted to feel the landscape, and now suddenly, my God, he sees what the audience sees, which is the German pulling the knife out of Blake's stomach. And now we're again on the Trinity rig, but we did the blend on the water pump, because this is such a complicated piece of work, piece of choreography and timing the camera and the actors, and it's like stunning performance here. So
we're going to stand up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We choreographed this camera move a number of times at Shepparton rehearsing this, and then on location. But Sam was very keen that we didn't do it with a full performance, but we were choreographing with the actors' moves. Charlie did a most amazing job on this, because it's very hard doing the kind of moves and doing that quite fast circling motion, and then the point where they settle here, Charlie's got to settle with the camera. It's got to be really lock solid. And I remember it was quite windy this day, so it wasn't the easiest thing. It's one of our longest takes. Again, quite a bit of stop pulling on all these turns around. We did the move around to get the camera in the right place for seeing their faces as well as seeing what's going on, but actually to kind of enhance the sense of chaos, really, the sense of confusion that was, you know, in their minds, I think, what's happening to them, you know. I think it works kind of well, really. And then we settle down here for the main moment.
You'll recognize him. Looks like me.
See, here it's got to be very still. It's a very hard thing to operate. And then at this point, after this piece of timber falls down and the embers fly across, then we wanted to push in just very slowly. It's a very hard move, especially, I say, you can see the smoke moving. You can see how windy it really was. Of course, the other issue is that we had to have cloud for the whole length of this shot. And so some days we had to kind of wait quite a while before it was right, before we were going to get a nice cloud cover. But we were lucky here because we had this, as you see, the sky in the background. There's some really beautiful sky patterns. And that was all, that's all in camera. There's no CG on that. A number of people have asked how Blake's face loses its colour during this shot, and I wonder how it does too, because there's nothing done. I didn't do anything in the DI. It was, this is all as it was shot. Yeah, how could he act to lose the colour in his face? But somehow it just happened.
This, inside.
I think it's a point to say that the idea of the one shot here is quite involving in a way. You're not letting the audience look away. Okay, you're not going to close-ups, but it's like you're making the audience watch it. It's almost like making it more real in some strange way. I think the one take idea is really, really effective in the trenches, the feeling that you're with these characters, you're in their world, you can't see anything they don't see, is kind of claustrophobic. And then on a scene like this, where it's just, it is like, yeah, you're just there watching this whole sad moment unfold, really.
I'm going to head southeast until I...
In another film, I kind of think, well, what would you have done? You know, how would you have shot this? It's interesting. There's millions of ways you might shoot it, but I love the simplicity of this, that you're just watching it in this hopefully nicely composed frame, and you're not allowed in the audience any relief, really.
A little older.
You can, both of people in frame, you're just watching something in a... You know, you're not over-dramatizing it in a way. You're not going into a close-up or looking tight on his hands or seeing Schofield's eyes and his Schofield's expression here. You see it well enough, and it's like you're forcing the audience just to take in the whole of the event. But again, I think it's an amazing piece of operating to hold this shot on the Trinity, this stable, after having done that whole move. And you'll see in a minute there's quite a lot more to follow, you know. Because now Charlie's readying himself to make a move as he's just adjusting his body so he can start slowly coming around. Again, had to be timed meticulously, really, so that you come in as Schofield's removing the rings. You see him take his dog tags, and as the dog tags, he puts his dog tags in a pocket, then we pull focus to the foreground to see that action, use that to make the move. That would be obviously a wipe if you wanted to, but we didn't. That's not a wipe. And you needed to time it so you see this picture, but still be able to keep moving so it doesn't feel too kind of contrived. And then to just normally come up to his face to see Schofield's reaction. And I love the landscape beyond here. It's so idyllic, but there's a German, dead German, and it's, yeah, still the same shot. Enormous pressure on doing a shot like this, to get the whole thing in one, get the performances, and, you know, frankly, not screw up when you're doing it technically, screw up a wonderful performance. The blend then is on that pan. Now we're on a separate shot, but it's still on the Trinity rig. We shot it on a separate day, had to be recreated to another day to exactly match the previous take, which would have been chosen overnight. So we knew exactly the next day when we started this take, exactly the positions of everybody. And then this is one of my favorite compositions. I think I call it a tribute to Sergio Leone, really. I love it. The boots come in, introduce a character on the boots. Mark comes in, and then you don't see him until later.
Orders to stop tomorrow morning's attack.
Again, I don't know how lucky we were with the light here. It's just unbelievable how lucky we were. We shot this quite late in the day. We would have had a late start in the day and spent time rehearsing so that by the time we came to shoot, and sometimes I asked to hold off deliberately, so we were shooting kind of later in the day to get this kind of quality of light. But it's incredibly lucky to get this kind of form of cloud formations in the background. Again, everything here is in camera, basically, apart from the smoke you see rising in the background. This is a shot we talked about very, very early in pre-production, talking about, well, how do we make the change from being about two characters to one? So we thought we leave Blake's body, this Schofield walks away, and then we come behind the farmhouse like this. You watch it in a wide shot, you watch the action, and then gradually this shot develops, and the character Schofield comes towards us, and once again we're with him. You know, we felt just giving that air and changing the tone between it, say, being about the two characters and being the one person now we're following. It felt really good to play this in the tableau, and gradually the whole movement starts going again with this walk. This is something we laid out actually on the back lot at Shepparton Studios to work out exactly how many trucks we needed, how long this was going to be. And then obviously we did it again on location once the set was there. It's again, Trinity rig, walking backwards.
Sorry about your friend. May I tell you something that you probably already know?
Again, a hard thing to do, make that stop in sync.
Hop on. Make some space there. Come on, in you get.
Yeah, and then here there's a blend, because as we get on the truck there, we needed to hold this composition here, and you couldn't have done that on the Trinity rig. So this is just Gary Hymns holding the stable eye, sitting on a box. We kind of pulled out the side of the truck behind the camera was kind of pulled out so that Gary could get this shot. It moves a little wider in a minute. So we had to do a little bit of construction there. But this is all on a flatbed now. So that's specifically built for this shot. Right.
So when we get off the train, Beaufort comes up to us and he's having a right go.
Again, quite a bit of stop pulling going on that pan. This is probably my favourite scene in the film, really. There's something quite wonderful how Sam staged this, that, you know, it feels like a shot about all these characters and all the other guys are all talking and Schofield's just sitting there thinking. And somehow you don't look at anything but his face, I feel, anyway. I think it's really successful and I think it's really moving that this is the moment you're thinking about what just happened. So this truck's going on up that road that you actually see by the farmhouse. It's bundling along. We had control over the stability of the truck. It was on a rig that Dom had fixed up so it could make this kind of twist. And now there on that back, there's another blend. So here we're getting out. This is another location. So we had to make the blend on that move. And now we're back on the Trinity rig. Charlie did a lot of work on this film. For somebody who'd never worked on a feature before, it's pretty cool. Charlie is a Lebanese refugee. And he gained his British citizenship two weeks before we started shooting this film. That was a really emotional moment for me, I'm sure, and let alone Charlie. He's a wonderful man, a wonderful operator. Again, a scene that we rehearsed many, many times just at in our field, you know, with a number of guys, just working out the camera move in relationship to George.
Now.
This is a wonderful location, again on Salisbury Plain, but it's all this landscape's actually there, you know, it's nothing's really changed. Later you see a little farmhouse that was painted in, but otherwise this is actually the landscape that exists, and it looks so much like the Somme, it's unbelievable.
Come on, boys, one last push, yeah?
It's chalk upland, which is what part of the Somme is, so it is actually geologically is a match, but it's surprising how hard it is to find these kind of long landscapes.
Get back in. Go.
There's a blend right there. The blend there because we wanted to get into the truck, and now the camera's been handed off by two grips earlier. It was handed off to Gary Himes, who's now walking back and sitting down in the back of the truck. So the camera can be looking out, and it's basically, basically a strong silhouette of Schofield in the foreground. And because they're talking about the background, it was like really quite key that we saw out.
They're attacking at dawn.
That's kind of one of my favourite shots, really. I like the way the light just wraps around on Schofield's eye, on George's eye, but it's nothing I did.
Jesus. Why did they send you on your own?
You see some cows and a farmhouse come into the shot in a minute, and that is the CG element. But otherwise, to say, the landscape is real. There was a bunch of trees off to the right-hand side that were painted out, but they were quite far away, so most of it's actually in camera. This, I think, is a wonderful piece of focus pulling too, just the timing of what Andy was doing here and how he was getting a slow split.
3 years fighting over this. We should have just let the bastards keep it. I mean, who machine guns cows?
Huns with extra bullets.
Bastards.
Clever. They know if they don't shoot the cow, you will eat it.
Still bad.
Now, again, the right-hand side of the truck is actually on a flap, So that could open. So Gary could make this move around here, because there wasn't really the space in the truck when you were looking from outside in. You couldn't have done it. So he's just walking around with the camera handheld, and I'm operating remotely on some vehicle that's way down the road behind us. And stop pulling. On the move, anyway.
No, we don't.
So now the truck made a turn off the road, so you feel you're making a turn.
That's a shame.
Which now segues to say this is in Salisbury and Wiltshire, and here on this little move, now we're in Glasgow, Scotland. And again, back on a Trinity rig, that's one of my favourite compositions, and an incredibly hard shot to do. It might not look it, but it is, to come out and then actually get that move. The side of the truck was out so the camera could get in behind the soldier you see sitting there on the right of frame. And as the camera comes out, the flap goes back in, and so it looks like it does now.
Corporal.
This, say, is an old Govan dockyard, a dry docks in Glasgow. And most of it, well, it is real. All the foreground here is real, but if you look from where the second truck is, from the second truck on, it's all CG. The two trucks in the front are CG, and the landscape beyond is CG, because there was an end of a dry dock, so there'd be big doors there, and in the background you could see the whole of Glasgow, which was not quite period. So here we come off the Trinity rig on this pan. We now move on to a stabilizer, which is on a four-point wire system. Again, we didn't do that for the blend. I like the idea of the shot, that you pan with Schofield's point of view, and then he walks into shot again. And I've done that so many times for the Coen brothers, and it seemed like a really good thing to do here. So you get that static look at where he's about to go. So now we're on the wire. The cranes in the far background there were in shot, and they had to be painted out. But otherwise, this is all in camera. The bridge and everything's in camera. Again, the wire, the camera movement is computer controlled, but the speed of it can be changed. But Gavin, our wire camera operator. We rehearsed this shot actually at Shepparton on the back lot. We built the whole thing with scaffold towers to match exactly what this space was going to be. So we actually rehearsed the wire shot with George on the back lot at Shepparton. So then when we got to Glasgow, it was actually, everybody knew where the camera needed to go, what we needed to do. Again, the background here, the trees weren't there and the background's extended, but a lot of the water was there. And again, all the bridge and everything was there. That was all a brilliant set Dennis Gassner designed, based on a photograph that we've had from the First World War. And right here, as he drops down, the camera's taken off the wire, and now Gary is walking with it. And we built a tiny little step here so that they had enough room to do this. Again, that background CG. Here, this is all live. And he looks up. This was a hard bit of operating, and that was me, damn it. And it was really difficult because timing the gunshots and when Schofield is going to look up and fire. So what we did, Mike, our AD, was just calling out. So he was cueing George, which was cueing me, so we could be pretty well in sync. I like the fact he's not completely in sync. I could never get that. Because it feels, somehow it feels more real that way. So the lockhouse, the front of the lockhouse there, where he's firing, is a set piece built onto an existing building. So most of it existed. Where we look at the destroyed town behind Schofield, which we saw earlier, that's a CG element. In the back here, in reality, there was Glasgow. So that's all. And and the Clyde. So that's all CG, but all this is actually in camera. This is now a blend. As we go in that door, we blended on Schofield's silhouette. And we, that's one of the few times we used a blue screen on the location, and now we're on a set piece that was built on the back lot at Shepperton. And this combines with the destroyed town, which again was all built. It's largely in camera, which we see out the window in a minute when the door opens and we see the German soldier. This was again Gary walking stable eye. Actually a really hard shoot. The shot now, I remember it, trying to pan with Schofield going down the stairs. That was it's funny when you think about it. So coming up then, this is the only real cut in the film. We're now on the Trinity rig because we wanted to look down at Schofield from where he had fallen. We wanted to be pretty close. I struggled with this because I didn't know what it should look like, because in theory there's no light. There's no light until later when you look out the window and the flares are going over. So this is the one time in the film I faked a light source that I'm still not sure about, really. But I don't know what else I could have done. I mean, I'm quite happy with the way it looks, that very dark, slightly soft light. It could be the first bit of dawn rising, because we see dawn later, but it doesn't really make sense, because when we go into the town, I wanted complete blackness. So it's one of those anomalies that I don't know. I never know how to deal with that. Moonlight, film moonlight. Yeah, so as the camera comes round with George as we go up the steps, we're on the Trinity. And then there's a join now. And where we see the window and the light from the flare coming over, we're now on a technocrane. We had to knock out the back wall of the set and put this 50-foot technocrane in, and just had enough length on it and the set and some trees behind us, which were restricting, to be able to just push in and come through this window. The window's built so it parts as the camera comes through. Most of this is in camera. I think the edges of the frame are altered CG-wise, but the light from the burning church, as you'll see later, is actually there. It's all augmented a bit, and I say the left and right of frame is helped with a bit of CG, but like now, most of that's in camera. Just about all of it's in camera. The flares are actually real flares that Dom Tuohy designed, so that they lasted specific length of time for us. Again, all this was mapped out, the speed of George's run, timing that the light wanted to be on him. We made a little model so we knew how the light would react when it went behind these structures. We wanted the shadows to move like you see, so it was all done with a model and LED lights mapped out precisely to the actual set that was going to be built. It had to be done before the set was built, otherwise you'd have been changing it around forever with a real building. This is all shot now. I didn't mention the beginning. You come out the window, the match is on a technocrane, and now it's handheld on a stable eye. The guys walk backwards onto an electric vehicle that is now carrying them. They're standing on it here. That was a horrendous piece of operating. But yeah, you're on an electric vehicle, and now they're stepping off that electric vehicle that stops in the square. So this is, again, just stable eye held by two grips. And say these time flares, real flares. Now the blend there is on the edge of that wall. And now we're on a conventional Steadicam rig, thank goodness. Now we're just being lit. The flares have ended, so now this is just being lit by the light of the church, the burning church, which obviously is not a burning church. It's like a mixture of Dino lights, 12 lights, 9 lights, 6 lights. In all, it's a 60 by 30 base, 50 foot high, 5 layers of lamps, a total of 2,000 1K bulbs, all kind of medium flood bulbs. And again, it's on dimmer, a whole dimmer system. And Steve Massey is kind of controlling it. So as the camera comes in and looks at it, it dims down a little bit. So when you first start this shot, this is all one shot. When it first starts, the light's a bit brighter, but now it's dimmed down so that it's not flaring out the camera. Obviously, the light has been replaced by this CG element of the burning church. And there's a little bit of atmosphere added, fixed a little bit. The German was real. He was there in that atmosphere. There's a little bit more added, and there's some buildings added behind the German character, but that's all in camera, as is the ground and the fountain. And that background there's a bit of CG. Again, we're still on Steadicam here, but now it's back on an electric vehicle, and the electric vehicle took off at a pace to be able to run with Schofield there. So, and the blend now on that pan. And the blend had to be because we needed to make this blend. So that's one of the shortest shots in the film. That was done on a stable eye. Again, the grip's running with it. And a blend was made. Now we're on a set at Shepperton, and the camera's on the Trinity rig. And this is just 4 lighting units. They're actually 2K blondes on dimmers going through large diffusions, and they're all cut, so they're going through individual windows that were designed and built for the set for that exact feel of the light. So you could see the kind of sense of the burning church going through the windows. The fire here is actually a light source. Again, the boiler was designed in a way that it's slightly curved, so I could have a light source that I did with double-ended quartz bulbs, the sort of bulbs that you find in Broads, psych lights. We made this kind of curved rig to go in the boiler, but because it has a slight curve, it could light the whole shot. It could get around far enough to light the French lady's position in the back there. This was interesting. You know, we figured this camera move, but there is only the one light source, was the boiler. And Charlie's working on the Trinity doing this shot. This is an amazing piece of work. But obviously, he's walking through the light source. So modern technology comes to your aid in many places. We knew we'd have to do this, so we shot an element where he boomed out and didn't have to go through the light source for that one moment. So that was used and composited into the main shot, that element of George's face without the shadow. This was quite a bit of smoke used on this set, just so that one light source didn't flare in the lens, but it also allowed that you had separation between the dark side of George's head, for instance, and the background. You put a little bit of atmosphere in, and the light then separates the foreground from the background in a nice way. I didn't want to make it feel like it was heavy fog or anything, but because of the single light source, it just softens it a little bit and gives a bit more depth. I kind of love this move. Again, very specific moves that we'd worked out way, way in advance of even starting shooting. This was something we worked out very, very early in our rehearsals. Again, an incredibly hard shot to operate, to keep that very stable look. Very, very small room. Obviously, it's a set. We could have made it any size we wanted, but it didn't want to feel that big. So, you know, it's a balance between making the shot, but also keeping the reality of the space. Again, it's just this one single light source. It was maybe 20 of these 500 watt double-ended bulbs in a curve, dimmed down, and then there's a very light bit of diffusion, curved diffusion on the face of the boiler, and that which you see in a minute as we pan across it right there, then that the light is replaced by a CG element. Everything around that is in camera, but the actual opening is the fireplace. That is, that little oil lamp is obviously it's a quartz bulb in it, a dummy in it, and it's on a dimmer, and it's given to a little bit of flicker. And again, that's the only light in here. There's no way you could light this. I mean, I probably would have lit it if we were doing it in single shots. I might have softened it, but as the camera comes round, the firelight is dimmed down, and then the oil lamp is turned up. The actress turns it up, but we extended it a little bit more and gave it a little bit of flicker.
Who is her mother?
And as you see again, this is incredibly difficult piece of camera movement, this, because Charlie's got the camera jibbed down a bit to be able to look at them at this angle. And as he goes in, you see the cupboard on the right-hand side. The set wall at this point has been cut away where you saw the original window lights coming onto the wall. That wall's all cut away to the edge of what this frame was going to be. And as Charlie goes in, that cupboard is retracted into a hole in the wall, because he's got to walk around behind the actress here. That baby was amazing. That baby, you know, we had a load of babies. I think this was our last one. And it was perfect. Look at the way it looks up at George. And yeah, it's pretty amazing how lucky. But I mean, you get lucky with a baby, but the shot had to be right as well. And the performances had to be right. So it was amazing that everything came together. So yeah, Charlie's now moving around, and that cupboard has been retracted, thankfully not upsetting the baby. As that lamp disappears from frame, the little oil lamp on the background, it's actually being dimmed up. It's been dimmed up to give a bit more light in the side of George's face as we come into his close shot. So it's still coming up now, but it's done so slowly you don't really notice it. But I felt you needed that just to see his expression and get more light in his left eye. Again, all one shot, no. It's very hard actually where Charlie was walking, because there's a mattress and there was all sort of things on the floor, but he's doing quite brilliant. I love this frame. I love it. It doesn't go in too close. It leaves the girl in frame, soft. You see her expression. It just, her profile is cheated that little bit, so you can see her expression and the baby's head. And then, and again, the smoke gives you that little bit of separation between the black of George's shoulder in the background. And then as George looks up, here's the bell. Realizes the time, and now Charlie's getting really ready to move with him as he's going to get up. And this was like a little bit of a nightmare, because he's got to get round. As George is going one way, Charlie's doing a circle motion the other way, so that he gets to a wide shot as the girl gets up in the foreground. It's pretty brilliant timing actually, and we did this a lot. A number of rehearsals, not so many takes, I don't think. We did a lot of rehearsals. Then Charlie's got to walk back as Schofield gets to the foreground silhouette for a beat, watch the girl. Then we wanted a moment that Schofield leaves. We wanted to hold the girl a second and then catch up Schofield again as he goes up the stairs. And it was obvious white there, because now we get, again, we're out of the stage. We're now back on the back lot. And that's looking straight towards this 50-foot tower of lights, which is kind of fun. Again, all this was modelled, so we knew the light was going to hit that back wall and hit little pieces that, as Schofield walks through. We're now in a stable eye rig. just because of the speed. So this is two grips with a camera hung between them and remotely operated. It's just because the terrain and the movement. All that's in camera. Obviously, the lights were taken out and the church was put in, but otherwise, all that set exists. And this is, we're still in the same place, it's all composite. But there was a blend there as we come in the door. Partly, I mean, really for performance, but also, I didn't want to do such a big stop pull there. It was quite, to get enough light inside here through those windows, I was pulling the lights up quite a bit to get a decent exposure here. I was still shooting, I mean, it might have been 2.5, maybe 2.2, maybe, again on the 40 mil. So again, a great bit of focus pulling from Andy Harris. And again, staged for this composition, so they roll towards us. It was really important that we see these silhouettes. We see George clearly. We see him clearly enough that it's George on top. And then we needed to open up the light so you see the German's hand fall on the floor in the foreground in a minute as George's character is strangling him.
Oh my.
And again, it all had to be timed with the guy coming in the background, the drunken German. Now, this was interesting. Two things. We look straight at the light source, but now we're on a motorbike. We're on a motorbike with a Mini Libra stabilizing head. And again, the whole set was designed for this shot and mapped out where the motorbike was going to go. We built a little road so the bike had somewhere to travel. And we knew at this point we were going to cross so that we would come behind him. I wanted the dawn to be coming up as well. So we shot this evening, rehearsing until the light was right. The camera's now pulling back on a technocrane that's on a tracking vehicle. The position of that fire was very deliberately put there. Again, it's actually a light source, but the flames have been CG'd in. And here we're shooting towards the dusk, which we now is our dawn. Some of the structures here are put in CG-wise in the background, but most of it is the same set we've been in for a while. Here, the camera comes down with him at a certain point. It morphs into a CG element of George that we shot on a wire. And now we're on water, a river up in Teesside mainly. The backgrounds and the foregrounds, there's some CG work there. The hardest thing to figure out how to shoot, actually. And in the end, we did it off a technocrane with our wonderful camera car driver driving the camera vehicle with the technocrane on it, and he's actually keeping pace with George in the water. We shot this on a slightly longer lens, on a 47 rather than a 40, because we wanted that little bit more chaotic feel. But we had tested originally off a boat, all sorts of ways to shoot this, but I like the way that this camera style, this sort of solidity of it, fits in with the rest of the movie. You're not taken out by suddenly a jolting camera work. It feels much more like our movie. And it's wonderful how Brian and the grips managed to keep with George, because there was so many elements there that were kind of confused that to take account of. And through the whole sequence, it was important that it starts to get light. You know, it was quite a challenge to get the feeling of the dawn coming up. Now we're on a 47. This was particular moment where in the Whitewater Center, he went down a slope, a hill, a little waterfall. But the main waterfall is a mix of CG and a waterfall we shot with a drone. And the blend is going from the drone CG element, and now we're on a crane. This now is on a technocrane, and we're jibbing down. It's on the same white water center, but we changed the flow of the water. So we're now on a technocrane, but it's actually on rails, so that we could control the movement rather than being on a truck. we could control the movement a little better, and it's on a longer arm, I believe. And so we could get this sort of delicate movement with him. So the water is live, but the background in this shot is an element that we shot on the real river that's being comped in with the foreground water element. Again, this is a shot that we kind of storyboarded a number of times. Conceptually, I conceptualized this sequence over and over again, and until Sam was happy with the combination of the performance, the idea of what the scene was saying, and the kind of camera move. So that background is CG. Now, the foreground rock is real, actually, though some people said it was CG. And now all this is in camera. We're on a real river, except for the blossom trees in the background. There's a bit of CG work there. But now the camera's being held by the grips. They're walking with the stabilizer again, underslung. And we built a whole platform. The rocks to the left of frame are CG. They replaced that where the platform was. And I say it's two grips walking with a camera now rigged below them. And we designed this so that Dennis Gassner put the tree and the bodies at 90 degrees to the, or nearly 90 degrees to the walkway. So we see it in wide as George gets there, but then we gradually walk in and come to meet him as he comes towards us here. All this was basically in camera. It was a wonderful location. I mean, it's a shame we didn't see more of it, because just practically we couldn't really do it. We went to the Whitewater Park, but I think this is pretty beautiful. So now the guys are walking around. He falls down, and they're circling him, basically handheld with a camera slung between them. I'm remotely operating it. Again, a lot of stop pulling. The tricky thing with this whole sequence is it's meant to be dawn. We go from night and the firelight into dawn. And obviously, you don't want to go too dark here, because you want to see his expression. You know, you want to see certain things. So the hard thing was making that transition in a sort of believable way. But I'm taking quite a bit of artistic license, really. I mean, this is quite a lot lighter than it would have been in real time, I guess. But again, nobody said anything so far. So there's a very obvious blend here behind the tree. Again, we matched the movement of the A side to the B side. The camera movement had to match. But we really had to do this as a separate shot, because this walk up this hill, this very steep hill, when we looked at this location, both Sam and I thought, no, we got to, this is fantastic. You see the river behind him, you see these fallen trees. It had such a sort of kind of almost mystical flavor to it, you know. Somebody said it was like a scene from The Wizard of Oz, which I think is great. It was meant to be kind of this slightly unreal world. And all those fallen trees were there. It was pretty amazing. But this is, again, the grips walking up this hill. They had a rope on a pulley system to help them. And then we had to match this move. This pan then comes around. And this was a match move to Salisbury Plain. And we actually shot this way before we shot the A side of the shot. So, yes, so this shot now is on the Trinity. And on the Trinity, because you see how it develops, it's a very long shot. And it really needed to be very in tune with George's performance, positions, and also very, it's a delicate move as it develops. So I felt it really had to be done on the Trinity. And we practiced this on an airfield near our trench locations. We practiced it over and over again, with Charlie, with extras, and sometimes with George. George was fantastic. He would come to a lot of the rehearsals and just muck in, because we were doing it. He wanted to do it. So by the time we came to shoot the shot on location, it was a very kind of programmed move for both George and Charlie. Again, all in camera. Maybe that tree that's lying on the left of frame might have been an addition, but... We just love the idea of being focused on George here and not really seeing the background clearly and thinking, well, what's happening? You hear the song, but you don't really see the singer. It just gradually reveals itself. And the most crucial bit of the shot for me was the timing of when George here slouches behind the tree, by the tree, because you go, the focus, again, brilliant work, but the focus goes from him as he slouches down and then back to the singer. So now you see that scene for the first time. I think this is one of my favorite moves in the film, because it seems so connected to what you want, what is happening, but it's so deliberately showing the audience these specific things, you know, George's kind of tiredness and the reveal of this moment. You want to see the singer, and now we come round to see all these young faces of these guys who are about to go off. They're the next part of the attack, so all these young guys might be heading to their deaths. And then, obviously, you want to come round and reveal George amongst these, just one of all these soldiers. So we choreograph this shot where we come round, reveal him amongst the group, and then slowly push into his face. And as the song goes, I think it's a very moving moment. See my father. Especially difficult shot, and you can see why it's the Trinity, because we needed to get low here, and it needed to be a very stable move. And it was made actually so much more difficult because it was a sunny day and we were only get intermittent clouds. And I was having a call how long the clouds would last to do this shot, and the shot's very long. So it was a lot of pressure, this shot, actually. A lot of pressure. I wouldn't want another day like that. But, I mean, I'm so pleased with the result. I think we managed to get a couple of takes that Sam was really happy with, and thankfully in cloud. I mean, the sun's out in the background, but you don't really... It doesn't really bother you because it's burnt out and out of focus.
What's that, mate?
The Devons.
It's very deliberate that you see the soldiers stand, but you don't see their faces until they come down. They kneel down and reveal themselves.
You are the Devons.
And all the soldiers in the background are moving up to the front line.
Why haven't you gone over?
We're the second wave.
And the scene slowly builds from being this one kind of poetic moment with this beautiful song to something that now develops that is kind of more horrendous.
Mackenzie, where's Colonel Mackenzie?
I love that sort of transition, and it's helped by the camera move here. As George gets up, suddenly we become much more active. We start running with him, and yeah, Charlie's now running with a Trinity rig, having done that whole shot, and now there's a blend here. Now we're on the stabilize, being handheld by two grips and being placed on a 50-foot technocrane arm so that we could get this little bit of height behind the trench and see the distance that he has to travel, and just see that the Hindenburg line as it would be in the background, way down the field off across the valley there. So the camera comes down on the technocrane, and now it's taken off again, and now it's handheld at this moment with George as he goes into this group of soldiers. And then now there's another blend there, and now we're on our little, what we call our dragonfly rig, which is the little post with the gyros with the stabilize remote head on top, that I'm remotely operating. And again, this was a really difficult move for Pete Cav, who was doing it, to time himself, his movement with the actor, to be able to, at this speed. Pete's now walking forward, and the camera's actually pointing over his shoulder. And then at this point, and this is still the same shot, he goes now, the camera is facing forward, and he's walking forward at speed. And again, it's all a remotely operated move. You know, it's an incredibly difficult bit of choreography, this, actually. I love the look of these trenches, these white trenches. There's something we saw in the Somme when we went scouting, and Sam thought it was a great idea to have the opening of the film being in the traditional mud and then getting to these white trenches, which actually existed. There were a lot. So the blend is on the back of Schofield as we come around here. Again, a very simple blend, actually. And we needed to do it for the action, the complexity of the effects work here, because this is all in camera. And again, we're on the Stabilite rig, and it's Pete running around with it. And again, poor Pete was suffering the war. He was getting effects in his face. It was a great piece of design that Pete worked out, this little gyro stabilized post with a stabilize remote head on it. Worked really well.
Further up the line. How far? 300 yards.
Again, all these trenches were mapped out on the field before they were dug, so we knew exactly where this action would happen, how far we wanted Schofield to walk before we saw this. This was something we wanted to go in his point of view, but it was a natural blend from going to his point of view to pan back to him here. Because now we're on a mini Libra head, which is mounted on a 50-foot technocrane that is off to the right of camera. Now the boom is pushing out. Again, I'm operating it remotely. The boom is pushing out to this position. It comes right out to here, so this is still on the end of the technocrane. Now it's been taken off the technocrane. The grips are walking backwards with it. Now it's been put on another technocrane that is on a vehicle, and the vehicle is now speeding off. So that was a pretty incredible little bit of choreography with the camera work. Although most of these explosions are real. There's one or two in the background, that one, that is CG. But most of them are real. And we didn't expect the extras to bump into George, but we liked it so much, Lee and Sam liked it so much, he left it in. And the driver compensated. Brian did a fantastic job seeing it happen to be able to stay with it and stay with the shot. Now we're still on the vehicle and the technocrane, and it's booming out. Now the technocrane's booming out, so that we can blend right there. So it was incredibly long, delicate shot that. Now we're back on Peter Cavacuti's Dragonfly rig, as we called it. Again, he's really in the war, poor Peter. And again, remotely operated. It was a hell of a bit of difficulty, this one.
I have to stop this attack, Colonel. We've seen flares. The men on the left flank have made it to the German line.
Yeah, so Peter Cavacuti was walking with this. And on this move here, George goes into the dugout. We let him leave camera so we could make the blend on the sandbags, on the edge of the sandbags, because now this is set built on location. It's all a composite set, but we needed to change the rig because now Pete's operating this on a standard Steadicam.
Orders are from Army Command. You have to read them.
Again, a shot that was worked out well in advance. The only thing that changed is that at one time we had it going the other way, which would have meant shooting on the wrong side of the light. So once we looked at the actual set, Sam really agreed that we wanted to be this side of the light.
Planning it for months. They want you to attack.
And the sandbag kind of window to the left was something that we designed. The ceiling is corrugated, and I wanted this long slit of light to give you this quite contrasty but strong side light. So, and then obviously because it's sandbags, I adjusted the sandbags to give the light that I wanted on the day.
Major?
Yes, sir.
So again, Steadicam, all one shot, moving into this. Choreographed a pan with a guy back to George. This is probably my favorite shot, I think, in the film, if I have one. I love the way the light is lighting George here, and I think at the last minute I put a few sandbags up so that Benedict is against black there, so his head is kind of outlined against the black rather than you're losing him in the white of the exterior. This is what I love. An incredibly hard move on a Steadicam to come around so slowly and keep that so strong. And look at the focus pulling too. I mean, we'd ND'd this down quite a lot to get that separation. I probably could have gone further, but, you know, you kind of think. And that trade-off as Schofield looks up, that focus pull back to Benedict, where, you know, for that line, I think is... I actually think that's really quite beautiful. And then the trade-off as he makes this turn, focus back onto him. And a big, big stop pull as we come round to this, because this is all the same shot.
Thank you, sir.
Do you know where Lieutenant Blake is, sir?
Blake?
There were two of us.
So the next blend is done for, you know, practical reasons, but for performance as well, because we did need to change the rig at a point here. But Sam obviously wanted to keep this whole piece for performance reasons as one.
Otherwise.
Thank you, sir.
The hardest thing was making the matches really lightwise, because, say, this is the A side, and right here we go to the B side, right there on that last cross. Well, to get the matching light, I mean, we're shooting in cloud, but even so, it was really hard. So there's a little bit of work in the DI to match that in terms of the feel of the atmosphere and that. And now we're back on the stable eye that's being carried by Pete on his Dragonfly rig again, I believe. No, I'm sure it is. So again, remotely operated, but he's maintaining the distance and a relationship with George as we go around. So Pete was facing forwards with the camera facing backwards to get this relationship with George, which is not an easy thing to do. But he had to do that just physically to be able to do it. Then there's a blend right there. Blend there because we're blending locations. We're now on a different location because you'll see in a minute the hospital tents and where we end up with the final tree, the final image of the film. Yeah, so this was now on the Trinity. And this is one shot from that last blend where we come onto this new set. And again, this took a lot of rehearsal. We rehearsed it on one day and it just didn't feel right. And I was really happy. Sam said, no, it just doesn't feel right. There's something wrong with this. And we came back the next day and started rehearsing it again. And figuring out, it's just the way George moves through the space, the way that we see his searching for Blake's brother, but also we see enough of what's going on. And so we decided, it was kind of a combination of ideas we had. So one time we're following him and seeing him, like up to now, go through the far tent and we see the foreground. But here, it was really nice, the idea to go into, like, what is his point of view? Or it's like almost a separate point of view of the devastation. So now, you know, we're almost saying to the audience, now, look, this is the result of war. And then we know Schofield's out there looking, but this is what we gave the audience, and then we come back to Schofield. I mean, I really like that move. I think that's really quite a moving way of depicting the scene. So there's a blend there now, in right there, to Schofield as he turns round. Again, that was done for just practical reasons and for performance-wise. And for now, all that horror that was in the tent previously is no longer there because we no longer look that way.
I'm from the 8th. What the hell are you doing here?
We waited. It was a sunny day when we were doing this scene, scheduled to do this scene, and we waited forever. I was looking at the weather apps and seeing when the next weather front was coming in, and it was scheduled to come in very, very late in the day. And so we waited. We basically rehearsed Charlie again on the Trinity rig, one of the most difficult shots, really. We rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed and waited for the light, basically. Again, it's a scene we'd rehearsed way in pre-production. So we kind of knew these moves, and we had schematics for all these scenes. You know, we had set plans, and we'd drawn where the camera was going to go relative to the actors, and we'd shot some rehearsals. So I had frames from the rehearsals printed up with the schematics, so we knew that was going to be the frame. You know, we knew exactly what the frames were. So, and not only to communicate with, you know, Charlie and Gary and Malcolm, whoever was working with the camera, you know, walking with the camera or operating, but just to give a sense of the whole flow of the piece. It was nice to have these frames, I think, you know, printed on the schematics. It was good for all departments, really, because they could see what was going to be on camera. They knew that nothing to this right of that, that's the widest we ever saw in that direction. So nothing to the right of that was ever going to be in shot.
Always telling funny stories. He saved my life.
I have so many things that I kind of wish were a little different. I wish the grass weren't so trampled there, but there we go. So then it was choreographed that we'd come on this round on this handshake to be able to change axis and now look up at Schofield, his reaction to Blake's brother. And we see this tree, which was quite an amazing find. This was really, originally in the script, Schofield was going to walk towards a river and sit by a river. And Sam just wanted the feeling of a bucolic kind of world that we leave at the beginning and come to at the end. But then we both were scouting and we saw this tree and said, well, that seems like a no-brainer. We should use that tree. And there's something wonderful about the two characters starting leaning against a tree and then the one character in the end left by himself by the tree. And the most amazing thing about doing the shot, which encompassed all that dialogue previous, was that we had this one little cloud. You see the sky is quite blue now, but there was one little cloud that covered the sun, so I could do all the dialogue in the cloud. And then just as we come round this tree, the sun is coming out. And that was kind of in my dreams for this shot. And here it comes out just as he lays back on the tree. It's still slowly coming around, coming out as he opens the letter. And this was the first take we did on this scene. And we did another maybe 20. We did quite a lot. But I remember we did this shot and I went to Sam and said, are you happy with that one? I thought that was kind of amazing. Not just for the sun. I thought it was an amazing shot. And he said, yeah, let's go again. Let's see where it goes. But when they came to look at all the takes, it was this one they liked best, not just because of the sunlight, but I was very lucky that I got that. I think it makes, it's kind of a poetic ending, and I think it's really fits, you know, you got the little bit of blue sky, and it's just such a relief, but you know, we're back where we started, and it's all going to happen again. Okay, well, that was my take on what we did. Thank you for listening. I hope it was informative. It was interesting for me to go back and actually recollect exactly what we were doing. It was kind of quite a complicated shoot, really. Well, thanks again. Cheers.
Thank you.